the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, we do live in a very complex world. I know that's stating the obvious, but it's very, very true. It does make it somewhat difficult to navigate through life. Yes, we do live in a very complicated world. If you notice, even those people who are outbackers, you know, on some of these reality shows and things, even they rely on a much more complicated world to be able to survive, you know. Even supposedly off the grid, they still have to bring things in from outside.
And they have cell phones.
Well, I'm thinking about some of the ones off in Alaska there, you know, they're outside of, of cell phone reach. But they still bring propane in, they still bring other supplies in from the outside. So technology, which enables us to do a lot of the things that we do, including programs like this, is changing the way that we live. It has basically reordered our society. As a matter of fact, I was talking with Chris Sheridan this morning, Jim, about just what we had available to us just 20 years ago compared to what we had now. I remember when I was covering World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado for a radio station there when the Pope John Paul II came to town. My cell phone was almost a small briefcase size unit with a big handset on the top, you know.
I bet it was the old Motorola. They almost looked like walkie-talkies.
They looked like the old military walkie-talkies, and I was sitting there at Mile High Stadium covering this whole thing for a radio station. I'd pick up the number, and then when we were talking, you were painfully aware of the fact it was costing you like something like 50 or 70 cents a minute to do it, you know, way back when. Look where we are today with the smartphone.
Well, I used to do television news in 91, and I can remember going out covering a story. The cameraman had this big honking thing he put on his shoulder. I had this mic with a battery pack, and then we had a van with a satellite dish. And that's what it took to do a story. Now, you compare that today. You go out with your iPhone, you capture it on film on your phone, the video on the phone, and then you transmit it through your laptop or through your phone, and it goes directly to the studio, and a couple minutes later, it's on the air.
Exactly. And everything's moved from tape to recording onto solid-state drives. As a matter of fact, when you remember when the guy had the big thing on his shoulder before that time, you had not just only the big thing on the shoulder, and it was a 3-2 Plumicon camera. You had to have a Portapak recorder to go with it. And then they finally built the recorders into the camera, and then later on they went digital. So it's amazing how the whole thing has changed. And let's face it, smartphones change the way we communicate, especially the way we shop. If you look at how Amazon, Google, and other online groups function nowadays, it's completely radically changed it. It's shut down a lot of people because look what's happened to a lot of the malls. But that's the way life goes forward. Things emerge as there's a need. Malls came into existence as they were needed, or a great idea where you could do all your shopping in one great big air-conditioned mall on a hot day. And people loved it. The way we record life, there is hardly an incident now on an airplane or anywhere that can't be recorded by somebody on a smartphone. And the smartphones are now so good, it's very high definition when you take photos or do video. So it's changed the way we record life, document life, and it's also changing our health because starting in the, must have been the 80s or 90s, the idea of health and exercise and getting cholesterol down and the related issues, they all came into existence. So people are living longer, you know. And so all of this has changed technology, has changed how we live, has changed when and how we retire because we're living longer. That's the first thing. Investment markets are longer and unpredictable. Retirement is more uncertain. Of course, that's due not just to technology, but it's due to other factors here. And it's the reason that so often we talk to you about having some kind of a retirement plan.
The reason we try to emphasize that is because you need to have a plan that covers all the uncertainties that occur as your life, the economy, and the markets change. I mean, think of, you know, John, the events that we have witnessed over the, probably the last 17 years, whether it was the bursting of the tech bubble, 9/11, the Iraq War, hurricanes Rita, Katrina, oil spikes to $150 a barrel, the financial crisis, the pig crisis, the downgrading of debt, market swoons, all kinds of things that we see occur that cause markets to fluctuate. We're looking at, as we have talked so much on the weekend program, the lowest interest rates in human recorded history. and think of how that has impacted you personally if you're retired. I don't need to tell many of you what you could have earned on your cash, your bank account, a CD, or even in the bond market if you go back to the beginning of the century. You could have made 7 or 8% and it was all safe. It was guaranteed. You didn't have to take any risk. Today, you're lucky to get 1 to 2% and that's in safe stuff. You want something more, you're going to have to get into something that's more volatile and subject to more risk. So there are a number of things you can do. If you're thinking about retirement or heading into retirement, you can do what some people do. In fact, quite a lot of you do this. That's do nothing. You can procrastinate and you can say, well, I'll get to that. Okay. You know what it's like, New Year's resolutions. You probably made a lot of them this year. Ask yourself, how many of those resolutions have you kept? We're in the second half of the year right now. Or another option is, well, you could do it yourself and come up with your own plan. If you have the intestinal fortitude, you have the inclination to research and do things, you can do it yourself. And today, as John was talking about technology, well, there's even computers or what we call robo-advisors. You can go online, get a computer program, and you can talk to a computer and come up with a plan. And then, of course, the last one is you can hire an actual advisor. The important point and lesson that we're trying to make here is have yourself a plan. We're halfway through this year. How many of the things that you set out to accomplish in January, whether they were New Year's resolutions or just things that you had in general, this year, this is what I'm going to get done. How many of you right now have achieved those things? And that's what we want to talk about now. You need a roadmap. You need to have a plan. If you were going to take off and go on a trip, let's say you were going to drive in a car, or for that matter, get on an airplane and take a vacation. You know the pilot has GPS and some kind of navigation equipment, so he knows when he takes off his flight plan that's going to help get him to the destination he needs to bring you. You get in your car, you plug in your GPS, you have a roadmap. Back in the old days, before technology, well, we had maps. Well, today we have GPS and a bunch of other things. But when it comes to your own retirement, you need to have a plan. So that is what we're going to talk about today. What are your options? There are a number of ways you can go. We'll talk about the pluses and the minuses.
Let's look at the options then that people have in planning for retirement. Let's assume that option number one, decision by indecision or decision to do nothing, is not an acceptable plan. So let's move on to the ones where you take some kind of an action.
Well, let's talk about the first option, and that is to do it yourself. Now, what are the advantages? Well, number one, it's cheaper. You don't have to pay anybody. And for some of you, it could actually become a hobby. For example, learning how to invest, the intricacies of the tax laws, whether it's income tax planning or it's actual estate planning. There are a number of things you can do online today. There's even legal advice you can get online, LegalZoom. There is TurboTax if you want to learn how to do your own taxes. And there's various investment software, or you could subscribe to newsletters or research services like ValueLine. I mean, you can do this. And some of this is free. You can go to your local library and get a copy of ValueLine if you want to research a stock or maybe even look up Morningstar on a mutual fund. And you may, out of all of it, get a sense of fulfillment and accomplishment of doing these things for yourself. But like anything else, well, there are some disadvantages. Number one, it's a very complex world. And just when you think you've figured it out, whether it's the investment markets, the tax laws, or the estate laws, well, guess what? They're talking about changing them. What are they talking about now? Tax reform. What does that mean? Changing the tax laws, changing the income tax laws, changing the estate tax laws, and even changing our medical system. So it's complex, and the laws are always changing as the markets are. And doing it yourself, it does take a lot of time and dedication, and you have to be consistent. And here's the other problem. Let's say you get proficient in doing all these things. What happens if you pass on? Is your surviving spouse capable, or your children, of doing the very same things that you took all that time and effort to learn and accomplish. I mean, we're involved right now in several clients where the individual, in this case, mainly the husband in the cases I can think of, where basically when he passes on or gets to the point of diminished capacity, we will step in because he knows his surviving wife and the children are not capable. Another client who was a retired investment advisor, he gave us part of his portfolio and we're managing part of it. He's managing the rest until he feels he no longer can take care of it. But there are some advantages of doing it yourself. It could be a fun experience and a great learning experience to challenge your mind when you're retired and have all of that free time. The only problem is later on, as you age or the onset of dementia, the process of handling is more complex, especially if your spouse is not as proficient as you are in analyzing markets and keeping up with tax laws, or in some cases, even your children. And as we are well aware from the evening news, they plan on changing the tax laws again, both the income tax laws and the estate tax laws, which means more changes are coming. And the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, which means there could be more volatility coming to the market.
Well, option number two in this whole panoply here would be, I mean, we're in the computer age, although some people still act like we're back in the 19th century. You can get a robo-advisor, and then the computer becomes, you know, whatever your app is or software. That's how you determine your investments.
You're right. The latest fad, and especially in this bull market, along with index funds, has become the robo-advisor. Computerization has hit the financial industry. There are out there, if you look, some very good computer retirement programs. And basically, it's like anything else. If you're doing your own retirement plan with an advisor, you're going to fill out a basic questionnaire. They usually ask you 8 to 10 basic questions. And then what it does, it spits out an investment allocation. It says, based on your age and objectives, you put X amount in a large cap fund, X amount in a small cap fund, an international fund, maybe a bond fund, and throw it in. And there is things like TurboTax, where if you can read, you can file your own income taxes. Might be a good idea just to learn about your income taxes and find out what tax brackets you're in. And there are estate planning documents out there. I would recommend that whatever document you do, please talk to a qualified attorney because it gets quite complex. You don't want to set up a document and get yourself into trouble and do something that wasn't necessary or really mess your estate up. And I've seen that done over and over numerous times, people doing yourself estate plans. That would be like, you know, trying to operate on yourself. Not recommended. But there are robo-advisors. The problem is this information in most of these programs on the investment allocation doesn't take into consideration complex situations, nor does it take into consideration family changes. Think of your own family situation, your relationship with your children, grandchildren, or children move out of state, get different jobs, they get separated, they get divorced. Everything changes in life, or your health changes. Nor do these computer programs give you the emotional support you need when markets go crazy, either on the upside or on the downside. Do you remember what it was like back in 1997 through 1999? You didn't have to save. All you had to do is just put your money in the stock market and you'd make double-digit returns each year and you would end up fabulously wealthy. Well, then we got the bursting of the tech bubble. And then think about what it was like between 2007 and 2009, and especially in September of 2008, where every Monday Hank Paulson got on the air and it looked like the world was coming to an end and falling apart. How many of you sold out of the market and never got back in? How many of you would have bought stocks in March, April, or May of 2009 when they were still predicting another doom and the end of the financial markets in another crash? Never mind that the S&P had already dropped from 1500 to 666. So how many of you would have had the intestinal fortitude to buy then? Or even worse, how many of you chased gold all the way up to 1900 or silver up to 50 with the idea the world was going to crash, gold was going to 10,000, and you would get filthy rich as the world fell apart. So the world is more complex today, and sometimes you just need somebody to hold your hand and tell you, steadfast, stay there, hold on. What you have, you're going to be okay. Or this is getting crazy, you might want to lighten up. So the world, like it or not, moving forward is going to change. And the world in the investment markets and the things that we worry about today are going to be much different 5 or 10 years from now. There are times in your life when you need a human voice and a human face. And that's one thing computers can't do. But out of all this, John, I'd rather see somebody with a robo-advisor in at least some kind of semblance of order in a plan rather than procrastinate or have no plan whatsoever.
Okay, let's talk about option number 3, and that is using a real advisor, someone who is above room temperature.
I mean a real people?
A real people, a flesh and blood type of person. However, as with every profession, there are, you know, there are people and then there are people. Some seem to do better than others in managing and understanding what's going on. So the process for picking an advisor who will really do something for you.
Well, I mean, the first thing you do when you're choosing an advisor, and especially if you're putting together a retirement plan, investment plan, depending on what your needs are, is you need to establish and define the relationship between you and the advisor. And when you're looking at an advisor, there are a number of things that you need to do. And I would recommend, if that's your inclination, that you write down a few of these things. Is that person of integrity? And if you establish a relationship with that person, can they be trusted with the kind of confidential information you're going to give them? Because you're going to give them a lot of things. Your finances, your budget, your income, your estate. You're going to discuss family matters, how you want your estate distributed, special things that you have. Can that person be trusted to keep that confidential? Is that person a good listener? And do they show empathy with things that are important to you? Or are they just talk and they know everything before you've told them the things that are important to you? And will they keep your best interest ahead of their own? Are they going to put you in high commission products, things where they benefit from, but not necessarily you? And can they be objective about investment choices when some products or investment solutions pay a much higher commission than other investment solutions? And I guess lastly, do they have the certification, the competence, the experience, and the judgment to do the job well? And the thing that you have to understand, any kind of plan that you get involved in, there are certain commitments, commitments from the advisor, and also commitments that you have to commit to. For example, you need to understand what services will that advisor provide? What is that advisor's compensation? And what is going to be your responsibility? I know you hate this. We talk about it all the time. It's probably not fun sitting around going through your checkbook, going through your expenses, and coming up with a budget. But without a budget, just like any company that you invest in, if you own stocks or mutual funds who invest in stocks, every corporation has an income statement and a balance sheet, and they have a budget. They know where the money's coming in. They know where the money's going out. You also need to establish the duration of that engagement and what additional services that may be required and the cost of it. For example, you may need an estate plan. You may need to have a will, a trust. You may need to get insurance to cover for unplanned contingencies. You may need long-term care. All those things should be discussed and you should know what they're going to cost.
You know, this seems to be a lot like a physical. You know, when you go to get a physical, your doctor wants to have you do a urine test, blood test. They check your blood pressure, do all sorts of important things. That, by the way, at one time, they didn't do as much of that. Now they realize how important it is to monitor these indicators. Really, when you talk about doing the type of plan you're doing, it's an economic physical is what it is.
Well, it really is, because what you're going to do is you're going to gather information. You're going to get things about family, addresses, likely guardians. You're going to have to take a look at sources of income, your expenses. What does your job look like and how secure is your job? And John, that really became an issue between 2007 and 2009, where a lot of people were laid off. Don't forget, the unemployment rate got up to over 10%, something we hadn't seen since 1981. Insurance information, taxes, tax returns, savings plans at work, company benefits, a health questionnaire about longevity. All of this stuff, from a balance sheet, income statement, your investments, tax returns, any estate planning documents, benefits at work, medical history, education. How many children? What are you thinking about in terms of college? Where are they going to go? Private? You going to pay for it? Is the money going to be there, or are the kids going to have to pay for it, or are you going to have to finance it? All of these things have to be done and gathered. And then more importantly, you have to set some kind of goals. And they can't be the advisor's goals. They have to come from you. And they have to be specific. You can't say, well, I'd like to retire someday. Okay, that's good, but when do you want to retire? Where do you want to retire? And how much money will you need to retire? Goals and objectives, and they have to be yours. They can't be the advisors. And then once you gather all of that information, it's got to be analyzed. You want to retire at age 62. What are you going to do when your advisor comes back and he says, you know what? Unless something drastic happens here, there's just not the money to do that. Or we may have to look at some alternatives. You may have to work maybe part-time. And you may have to wait to age 66 or 67 to get your full Social Security benefits, because you're going to take a big haircut if you want to take it now, and that's going to impact your spouse later on. Or what about a backup plan just in case the job you have or the one your spouse has goes away because one of you gets laid off, company gets merged, gets bought out. You're not expecting it, but nonetheless it happens. So what's your contingency plan? And then it comes to plan recommendations. All right, if you want to accomplish this goal, retire, pay for your daughter's wedding, pay for your kids' education, retire to some place that you want to be, do the things you want to do, here's what it's going to take. This is where your money's going to be invested. This is what's going to keep it secure. This is what you're going to do with your estate plan. You may need some insurance, long-term care, maybe it's life insurance, whatever the case may be. And this is what you should be doing with your company benefit plan. So there are recommendations, and in many cases, there needs to be alternatives, because maybe all those recommendations, maybe some of them just don't fit you, or maybe you personally don't feel comfortable with them. And then once the plan is put into place, I don't need to tell you, your life changes, your health changes, the world changes, the tax laws change, and the investment markets change. So it has to be monitored. And then along the way, you make adjustments as all those surprises that we're given in life surface, so you know how and you're set to deal with them when they occur.
So what we have outlined today here on the program are four options. Number one, as we pointed out, do nothing. That's known, by the way, as the fallacy of decision by indecision, which is a decision. And that's usually the worst of all the decisions. So let's assume you're not going to do that. In all of the next three, you're going to have a plan. Number one, do it yourself. Do your own investing and monitoring and handling everything. Number two, add on to that, use a robo-advisor. Use your computer or some of the apps that are available out there. Number three, come up with a plan, of course, but you do hire an advisor, a real person to do this. But above all, the key here is to have a plan to guide you through retirement and to get you through all of the, at least the anticipable life changes that you may encounter up to and during your retirement. Our guest on tomorrow's Lifetime Income will be Lowell Smith. He's Chief Operating Officer of IRA Logix. He'll be discussing pension plans for the self-employed. And right now it's time for our real-life case study, which, remember, is a hypothetical illustration based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed. And we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making here.
And this week we have Jack and Christy Ruckles. Jack is age 53. Christy's age 51. Both want to retire soon. They want to retire sooner than full retirement age. Jack, given the health questionnaire, his life expectancy is 92. Christy is 95, which is something we see that's very common. Women, face it, guys, they outlive us. Their risk tolerance, well, I would call it moderately conservative. Income, of course, with capital preservation. That seems to be a common trait when somebody wants to head into retirement. You need income. You need to live off that. And you don't want to lose your principal. Jack is an engineer. He's worked for a large defense company for over 25 years, but he's ready to retire. He's managed the family finances using a robo-advisor in recent years to help them with retirement planning and asset allocation. Jack and his wife have accumulated extensive positions in his company's stock, large cap stocks, and a sizable portion of precious metals throughout their working career. Jack's two biggest concerns about retirement are being able to retire early and being able to maintain the same lifestyle the day he retires till the end of his life. He's looking forward to retiring and would like to pick up new hobbies and spend more time with family. Christy is a nurse. She's been a nurse at a local clinic for many years now. She loves her work, but is ready to settle down and be closer to and more available for all those grandchildren who live in California. She's anxious about running out of money in retirement because that's what happened to one of their parents. And if they were to relocate and believe that in order to make that happen, she's willing to do it. Her and Jack may have to work longer than they would like. She's eager to maintain the same lifestyle and looks forward to finally being able to take a few vacations with her husband and the rest of her family. On a risk score, they are typically a little bit riskier than most couples, but that, I think, reflects their age. Most people, as they get closer to 60, when we put them through a risk assessment, they usually are in the 3 to 4 category. Their risk category was 5. Their portfolio is 8, which is something we find quite frequently, a disparity between who you are actually as a risk taker versus how you're invested. As many people do, you set up an investment plan, especially a lot of you that are contributing to, I don't know what it is, 403B plans, 457 plans, if you're in government, or 401K, you set them up and they kind of go on autopilot. Doesn't matter what's going on. You don't change them as markets change and as your risk tolerance change, or you get closer to retirement. What was important to Jack and Christy? Well, they wanted to be able to retire early. They want to live closer to the grandchildren, which could entail a move for them. Their children were in California. Maintaining the same lifestyle and being emotionally prepared for retirement. It's a big decision, folks, when you're both working and all of a sudden you get your last paycheck. Now you have all that free time. What do you do with it? Where do you spend it? What is it going to cost? And what are you going to do? Where are you going to be? Where are you going to live? With Jack and Christy, the big decision was where they were going to live. They wanted to live where their children lived and where their grandchildren were. Their budget essential was $81,000, $43,000 discretionary, $124,000. Jack's salary was $105,000. Christie's was $58,000, so they had a surplus of about $39,000. They figured if they retired, the budget would be roughly about the same. They wanted to maintain the same lifestyle. Social Security between both of them would be $51,000. The shortfall would be $72,000. But they were good savers. The primary residence was $550,000, and there was very little owed. Actually, the only debt they had was $25,000, which was on their two cars they had bought. The house was primarily free and clear. Jack's retirement plan was $670,000. Christie's was less at about $180,000. They had roughly about $2.25 in cash. A lot of that was selling precious metals. They used to have a much, much larger position. And they eventually, as they saw precious metals going nowhere, they reduced that position. So most of the cash which was about 225, came out of selling some precious metals. Their precious metals were down to about 216,000. Jack's company stock was worth about 210. So they had investment assets, which were pretty sizable, about $1.5 million. Total assets, including the house, was about $2 million. So if we take a look at the asset allocation, was 63% stocks, 11% in commodities, that was the gold, and about 27% in real estate, which consisted of their home. The challenges was managing the high cost of moving to California. I said it's beautiful weather. It's one of the few Mediterranean climates in the world, especially along the southern coast of California, the most beautiful coastlines you'll ever see any place in the world. But it's expensive to live here. The investment allocation and maximizing their income, and more importantly, being emotionally prepared for retirement. So based on where they were, we suggested with Social Security at $51,000, it would make sense if they worked part-time. Because with part-time income, it could bring in roughly about $40,000 in terms of what they wanted to do. He could do some part-time consulting as an engineer. And so we really needed that extra income if they wanted to retire, because there just simply wasn't enough assets to retire as early as we did. We put together a balanced portfolio. We added some bonds, especially adjustable rate bonds, because everything they had was basically stocks and precious metals, which is a pretty volatile portfolio. The result was investment income would be roughly about $30,000, but with Social Security of $51,000, part-time work of $38,000 or close to $40,000, they would bring in roughly $118,000. There would be a budget shortfall of $23,000. So we really needed to either do two things. One, postpone retirement until a later date, or both would have to work part-time. Jack and Christy, what they decided to do was downsize by selling their current home and then buying a condo in Northern California to be closer to the grandkids. We suggested that they put together a budget to help lower that discretionary spending in order to accommodate the higher cost of living, of moving to California. Jack and Christy were a little bit different than what we see most of the time here in California. Our clients are exiting the state, selling their expensive homes here, buying a less expensive home in Arizona, Florida, Texas, or Nevada, where it's much cheaper. Rarely do we see people coming here because it's so more expensive. Property taxes are more expensive. Housing's more expensive. Gasoline, utilities, income taxes, you name it, it's more expensive. We recommended that they reduce their concentrated position in defense industry, his one stock. We also suggested he consider diversifying their assets into a portfolio that focuses on dividend paying stocks, which they're going to need if you want to retire early, and bonds to get it better aligned with their income needs. Given that they are both still relatively young, we recommended that Jack find part-time work to help cover the shortfall in the early years. Christy even started a small side business to help produce additional income. We spent a lot of time educating them to focus on the positive impacts of the changes and working towards accomplishing their goals because they were semi-retired. I said, guys, the numbers just don't say retired. It's just not there. And especially when you're doing what you're doing, you're moving from New Mexico and you're moving to California. Two different states, much different lifestyle, much more expensive. As anybody that knows, if you live in the East Coast, you live in New York City or around New York, or you live in California, I don't need to tell you what it costs to live here. So we spent a lot of time talking about, look, you can sort of get close to where you want to be, but you're going to have to semi-retire. I hate to say it, but living in California is very expensive. And so that's what they did.
You know, that's sort of an interesting switcheroo. A lot of people are moving into our area from California, but there don't seem to be a lot of people moving to California for obvious reasons. I hear more and more people talking about getting out.
Yeah, we just passed a $52 billion tax increase. But, you know, you look at it, if you love your children, you have grandchildren, you know, when are you going to see them? If you live in opposite states, how often are you going to see them? And they wanted to live closer to where their children are. Both their kids work in Northern California in the technology industry. They're doing quite well financially. One of them works for Facebook, so doing very, very well. So they wanted to be close to their kids and grandchildren. So, you know, John, can you blame them? But, you know, it's just almost the reverse of what you see, somebody moving to California. So, you know, Governor Brown, I hope you appreciate it. You've got a taxpayer moving into the state instead of a taxpayer exiting this state. But you're absolutely right. Most of the people that we have in California, when we take a look at tax inversions or downsizing or trying to raise more money or make retirement more affordable, John, we're usually talking about moving out of the state because everything here is so much more expensive than any place else. We see a lot of people moving to Nevada. Arizona is a very popular spot, Texas, some to Florida. Although if you move from California to the opposite coast to Florida, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more humid on that side of the world. But yeah, it was unusual of somebody actually moving to California. We don't see too much of that. Anyway, that's this week's Lifetime Income. Hope as we talk about planning, you will choose one of those three options. Don't go the way of procrastinate. Okay, halfway. Okay, I know I wanted to do it this year. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make it next year. Don't do that. Do something. Either do it yourself, do a robo-advisor, or hire an advisor. Put a plan in place. You'll never regret doing that. In the meantime, on behalf of John Leffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.